The world will mark a somber anniversary this coming weekend, and there are concerns about the environmental impact of a national holiday in India. With me for a weekly look at some of the top international stories of the coming days is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start with something happening tomorrow. And while those of us here in the U.S. and probably a fair number of people abroad as well will be watching the results of the midterm elections, there's also an important deadline for the U.S. State Department. What's that about?
Yeah, that's right. Now, your listeners, I'm sure, will have heard all about the reimposed sanctions on Iran this morning, Mark. But tomorrow could result in a whole raft of new US sanctions on Russia. Now, this is all to do with chemical weapons. And specifically, you may remember that attack on a young woman and her father, a Russian man who'd spied for Britain, who were poisoned in the UK back in March. Now, authorities here said that Russian agents had travelled to Britain and tried to kill the two using a chemical agent. Russia repeatedly denied these accusations, but the US sided with the Brits and declared that Russia had breached international agreements on chemical and biological weapons. Now, some initial sanctions came into effect straight away, and a deadline was given to Russia to agree to end its chemical weapons program and allow UN inspections. That deadline comes up tomorrow.
So, Rich, if the State Department tells Congress tomorrow that Russia has not complied with this demand, what happens?
Well, in short, a further decline in diplomatic relations between Washington and Moscow. Now, US law would require the government to take several punitive steps. There are a few options available, like banning the Russian airline Aeroflot from flying to America, banning US exports to Russia, or restricting banking relationships. But the real question is, does Russia actually care? Here's Yuri Vendik from the BBC's Russian service.
I wouldn't say Russia is very much worried about this second package of the sanctions. The Russians do not believe the sanctions will be very serious. Everybody, the cell economists, most of them, say that Russia has become quite well insulated from the effects of the foreign Western sanctions. And sanctions like this are not going to hurt it much. The Russian economy is not thriving, definitely. It's stagnating, but it's not in tatters either.
So that deadline for the State Department is tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see what happens and if any action actually makes any difference.
All right, Rich, let's move on to India now, where there are environmental concerns this week ahead of a national holiday on Wednesday, the Hindu Festival of Lights, Diwali. What exactly is the controversy?
Well, it's how the lights are celebrated that's the issue here. Now, across India, Diwali is a time for huge fireworks celebrations. And those fireworks, of course, create smoke, and that's a major problem for the capital, Delhi. Air quality in the region is already terrible, and at this time of the year, it's made worse as farmers burn off the leftovers from their harvest. Add into that Delhi's power plants and pollution from cars, and it's overall a pretty unpleasant situation. Put smoke from thousands of fireworks into that mix, and it makes the air seriously dangerous for people's health.
Now, last year, India's Supreme Court banned the sale of fireworks. Did that help?
Well, it all depends who you talk to. The authorities say it reduced air pollution by 40%, but critics say the ban was largely symbolic and didn't really help much to reduce the amount of fireworks or the smog they produced. They've decided not to do that this year. Instead, it's said that only officially sanctioned fireworks can be used. Here's Davina Gupta from the BBC's Delhi Bureau.
This year, the court has allowed a two-hour window to burst green fireworks on Diwali. Activists say the implementation of this order will be tough in a city which accounts for nearly half of India's demand for fireworks.
Yeah, and critics saying these restrictions are going to be practically impossible to enforce, Mark. So everyone in Delhi, but especially the very old and those caring for very young, are getting ready for a difficult week for breathing.
All right, finally, Rich, Sunday is, of course, Veterans Day here in the U.S., Armistice Day in the U.K., and this year is extra special, marking 100 years since the end of the First World War.
Yes, with commemorations around the world to mark that milestone, 11th November 2018, 100 years since the guns fell silent. This is a war that, when it started, affected countries where 40% of the world's population lived. Millions were killed. Interestingly, while many countries are marking the end of the war, some actually celebrate it. So countries like Poland, Lithuania and Latvia, for example, became independent nations on November 11th, so it's their Independence Day. Commemorations this weekend around the end of the First World War are going to be focused on France, and the French President Emmanuel Macron will be travelling across the country to various World War I battlefields. And over the weekend, he'll be welcoming the leaders of Russia, members of the British royal family, and even leaders from Germany to some of those events.
And President Trump will also be in Paris, right?
Yes, he will. And now you may remember President Trump praised the French when he attended the annual Bastille Day parade and came home saying he wanted to host a similar parade in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, Mr. Trump's going to be disappointed this time. The French president has said that the commemorations will not be militarized. There's going to be no tanks. Instead, they'll be much more reflective and sombre, particularly given the magnitude of the loss suffered by all sides of the conflict. While he's there, however, Mr. Trump is also expected to meet with President Putin of Russia on the sidelines, and they're going to be talking about President Trump's decision to pull the US out of an arms control treaty that signed with the old Soviet Union, and possibly whatever sanctions might be imposed after that State Department deadline on Tuesday that we discussed a moment ago. So that's what we're looking ahead to this week.
All right. Certainly, as always, plenty to be looking ahead to. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, thanks as always.
Good to talk to you, Mark.